take care of me. And I could hear it rumbling, you know, and I knew it had been real damage.
Military officials say they will investigate a video which has surfaced showing what appear to be U.S. Marines urinating on three dead bodies, possibly in Afghanistan. CNN's Barbara Starr reports Pentagon officials are working now to identify the people in the video.
They are going to start looking and seeing if anything matches a potential unit that served potentially in Afghanistan, that they might be able to determine who this was and who, and what they exactly were doing here.
Tehran is calling on the UN to formally condemn the bombing death of an Iranian nuclear scientist this week. Iran's UN ambassador, Mohammad Kazai, blames Israel.
We believe that these terrorist attacks are supported by some elements within the Israeli regime.
Online foreclosure marketer Realty Track says in 2011, foreclosure filings and repossessions fell to the lowest level since 2007. But the company says that's not necessarily a good thing. It says the lower numbers are largely due to processing delays. This is CNN Radio.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm eating cake, so...
How about a new resolution? To save.
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
Dozens of store closings and thousands of job cuts are coming to the nation's grocery store business. Belgian supermarket company Delhaize says it will cut almost 5,000 jobs as it closes more than 100 stores along the East Coast, including some underperforming Food Lion and Hannaford locations. Vestas, the world's biggest maker of wind turbines, is cutting more than 2,000 jobs worldwide and says 1,600 more jobs, all of them in the U.S., are in danger as a tax credit is set to expire. There's one sign the job market may be stabilizing a bit. Remittances are rising. Los Angeles Times reports the amount of money Mexican Americans are sending back to family members in Mexico was up 8% last year from the year before to $23 billion. Yahoo has been bumped to third. Internet research company ComScore reports Microsoft search engine has grown in popularity to the point it's now the second most widely used. Google is still tops. S&P futures gaining 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiani.
Good morning. Just about 7 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday, January 12th, 2012 program. And happy to punch in with you this morning. Anthony and Jeff along for the ride as well. We'll come to them in just a few minutes. I want to welcome all of you back to the show. If you are joining us for the first time, well, good. Nice to have you on board. I think you're going to find that this is different than what you're used to. Just strap in and let's see what happens. We have a very full day today. In fact, today and tomorrow are really jam-packed. But today, in the next hour, we're going to visit with Bruce Felk, who normally would be with us with the Rochester Citizen, but he has signed on as the spokesperson for Michigan Rising. They are the group that is taking on both the Phil Pavlov campaign, recall campaign, and the recall or the second attempt to recall Governor Rick Snyder. That will be the focus of our interview this morning. Joining us at 7:35, Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. They have a family jobs agenda. She will preview that as they have a press conference this afternoon. So you're going to get it here first at 7:50. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. We're going to see how their restoration project is coming along. At 8 o'clock, we'll have David Hecker with us, the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, and of the many things I'm sure that are on David's mind, the state surplus is certainly one of them, as it is for me and should be for you as well. So that's what you can expect to have happen today. Let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
I think our first word today should be a simple word. Three syllables, but simple. Liberal. Liberal. I say real fast, it's two syllables. Liberal. Liberal. It is, kind of the basis for which I, base most of my decisions. I am proudly a liberal, and many of you are as well. Why would I choose liberal as our first word today? I think that we sometimes have to go back to our roots. We have to reinforce and reinvigorate ourselves in pursuit of what it is that we do well, or think we do well anyway. Again, remind ourselves of the importance of our beginnings, the base, the foundation of who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Interestingly enough, this afternoon I'll be speaking to a group of union activists at UAW Region 1 about this very issue, how to and why to get engaged and how to get engaged and, you know, the importance of that. And we have to remember, you know, our liberal base. We really do. You know, somebody had sent me an email overnight asking me about union men and women that have gone to the other side that are now Republican because of the collective bargaining agreements that brought them a little bit of money. And they want to keep more of it. So that means they need to be what? Republican. No, it does not mean that. And I'm hoping 2010 taught them that in a big way. Anyway, today's first word is liberal, and certainly I think we can spread it on pretty thick from time to time, but it by sheer coincidence, by the way, and this is the really interesting thing, as I'm ramping up to introduce and bring producer Jeff Radford on. Jeff certainly is a liberal, but Jeff, it was kind of odd that we came together not knowing that you know, not knowing that you would take on a larger role in the show when we first started, and that you would, of course, be leaning in the direction, God forbid, had you had A, not been political, and I'm sure you're a whole lot more political now than you were when we first started the show, but secondly, that you could have been a Republican. God forbid, what would we have done then?
I thought about that. I thought, what would have happened if, you know, if you would have gotten together with somebody who had a conservative view as far as, you know, the board op that they put on the show? And I don't know. I mean, would you have kept them on and just had, like, you know, had that the person that would keep you in check, I guess?
Yes, we're back. Okay. And welcome to Technical Difficulties here at 1310 WDTW. Yes, anyway, as we were saying, I did think about that, and I'm happy to say that we actually had a conversation with some of the management-type people here at WDTW before...
First shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class, you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning to you, Tony. Our total traffic update still looks pretty good out there. We've got lighter traffic because we've not yet hit the biggest part of the morning rush hour. But you can expect it to be a slower ride with wet roadways. You always want to keep your speeds down. And the potential for problems, of course, is very high. We've got light rain, drizzle, all of that. So just give yourself a little extra time this morning.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be 41. Tonight, a rain-snow mixture, a low near 28. Tomorrow, look for snow and a high of 31. Right now, we do have that light rain out there, some fog and mist, and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, no. We install them fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. We install rain or shine or even that weird thing where there are some clouds, the sun is shining, but you're still getting rained on? Yeah, we'll still install it. Free battery installation, even in weird weather. Only at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
According to Nostradamus, 2012 is the year the world ends. But we can go out laughing with NBC's new Thursday comedy lineup. It begins tonight with the return of 30 Rock, followed by new episodes of Parks and Rec, The Office, and Up All Night on its new night. Then, the thrilling new story based on the bestseller by John Grisham continues. And the deeper Mitch McDeer digs, the more dangerous it gets.
There's a contract on me?
Not just you, your family.
The Firm, a new chapter begins tonight on NBC.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, Diggity Dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the Daily Poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA. And the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign website facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. What is it now? 19 minutes after the hour. A little apology. We're having some technical difficulties, and I can't promise you that we won't repeat them. So just be patient with us as we work through it. It's very frustrating, from a studio standpoint, and Jeff is doing everything he can to resolve these issues. It's just, it is what it is. No, not the way you want to start your day, that's for sure. So, Jeff, back to what we were discussing. Good thing we're liberal, because, you know, what would if I were a Republican right now, I'd be hammering management on air and talking about all kinds of stuff that would be inappropriate. That's just not my style.
It would be all about money and not people.
Right. Anyway, so, yes, no, I talked to management about you. Before we decided to plug you into this program, but I don't know that Michael knew that you had liberal leanings. I don't know that he knew that. So
no, I don't think anyone did. That's why I thought it was. I mean, nobody asked me either. No one said, "Hey, you're going to be doing a show on this channel, and you know, you have to think this way, or do you think this way, or even ask me if I think a certain way or not." Just happened to work out.
Yeah, it did. And in fact, the first time that that you and I met, we had a meeting, and just to kind of just introduce ourselves to each other. And I think that at one point during that conversation, you heard me say a couple things that led you to believe at least that I knew what I was doing, because I could your body language changed as it related to me. It was like you said, okay, at least this guy knows radio, because I was speaking the lingo.
Right. Well, hey, I don't want to say anything bad about some people, but we've had shows that have come through the station, and you get the kind of feeling that people just want to be on the radio, and I don't know how they found the money. I mean, it's not cheap to do a radio show if you want to pay for it, and they haven't really thought about it ahead of time. So yeah, I went into the meeting, already had thinking, okay, let's feel this out and see exactly what was going on, and I started throwing a lot of things out at once, to see how the reaction would be, because if you start throwing out technical terms and structure of how a radio show is set up, and you see a reaction like, well, wait a minute, what is he talking about? Then I kind of know, all right, I've got to do a lot, or, we'll see if I can mold these people along, or maybe they just didn't realize what they're getting into. And it didn't faze you at all. You threw it back at me, and I'm like, okay, now I get it. I understand what's going on.
All right. Well, yes, and it worked out, and no disrespect to our original producer, who we will not name by name. A great guy. I still consider him a friend. Just didn't work out, and sometimes that happens. Unfortunately, you seem to have an interest in what was going on, so that just kind of the connection worked, and so some of it you go, okay, that's the, if you believe in this kind of thing as I do, that's the universe at work, making sure that that we're connecting the proper people to the proper people. So ultimately, at the at the end of the day, this has been a pretty nice partnership. And there's no question that's true. And the other thing is, although I certainly don't have nearly the knowledge that you do, because you actually do sports talk radio Mondays and Tuesdays in Ann Arbor, I think it was a pleasant surprise for you that I absolutely had some interest in sports. I don't think you expected that.
No, I didn't think that we would have any discussions about that.
So, in fact, the first time I asked you if you wouldn't mind commenting on sports on the show, I'd asked Michael, who is the executive here at the Clear Channel that I deal with, if it would be okay if I asked you. And he said, yeah, I think that he'd probably be okay with that. And, of course, I didn't know that at that point, what I know now. So, anyway, and speaking of sports, not a whole lot going on overnight in the world of sports. In fact, I can't think of anything going on that we...
I stayed up late to watch a game.
What did you watch?
Michigan versus Northwestern.
And who won?
Michigan did in overtime. Crazy, because they were down early. It was the first 5 minutes of the game. I'm thinking, man, these two teams are going back and forth. And you look at the score, and it was like 8-0, 10-0, something along those lines. And it's just Michigan was missing easy putbacks, or they weren't finishing. They were actually executing up until the point of trying to put the ball in the basket, which is the name of the game. And I started thinking, and of course, when I watch sports, I like to kind of put stuff out on Twitter every once in a while, and I'm like, man, Timmy Hardaway's got to get going. Next thing it hits like cans three threes and brings them back. They actually had brought it really close and then kind of lost it towards halftime. But in the second half, again, come back on like gangbusters. And in the Big Ten, you have to defend your home court. You lose at home and it's devastating. Wisconsin's feeling the effects right now of losing in both Iowa and Michigan State at home.
Right.
So Michigan, I'm thinking you cannot lose this game. I mean, Northwestern's good. But, if Northwestern's good, then lose to them on their court. You can't lose at home. You just can't do it. And it goes into overtime, and Michigan actually looked like the more confident team. So they pull away despite, a very dumb act by Jordan Morgan. And they end up with a two-point victory.
All right. Well, then, but that's weird is because I didn't see it in the paper this morning, and I specifically looked, so... all right. Well, anyway, there we go. There's our big sports update for the morning. By the way, my buddy Patrick Stagg, who you'll remember, Jeff, just sent me this email. You two are like peanut butter and jelly, one being creamy, one being nutty. Oh, I mean crunchy. So, yeah, Pat's listening.
Pat's and thanks for calling me Jelly. That's sweet of you, Patrick.
Yeah, we're going to just, you know, leave it there. Absolutely. Yeah, Patrick, thanks and good morning. Thanks for punching in early with us today. Okay, anyway, so that's it in the world of sports. We'll, of course, talk tomorrow about the weekend. The Tebow mania has been all the rage this week. In fact, I read an article yesterday. I was telling Anthony that one of the he only has three endorsement deals. One of them is with Jockey, and their sales are up. Are you ready for this, Jeff? 5,500% in the last week.
Now, if only Hostess used Tim Tebow, they wouldn't have gone bankrupt.
Yeah, they're
yesterday.
Going bankrupt. You know, Hostess Cakes, which really kind of surprised me.
I get Tebow. They should have gone after the Tebow effect. Tebow, if you see Tebow throw a touchdown pass, which is rare,
eat
or run
Twinkie.
For one, and he takes his helmet off and eats a Twinkie, suddenly sales would go up. You know, it's funny. I don't know if I told you the story. I went bowling the other day. And, you know, bowling with a friend, and I look over, and I hope I can, I'm not, you know, trying to be, I'm trying to just tell the story in the description, not being discriminatory at all. I look over, and it's a family of Arabic people.
Okay.
All right, and it's, and they got, and their kids, it's a, obviously a birthday party, and their kid is celebrating his birthday. He's got friends. Now, there's about eight to ten 10-year-old kids, you know, right around that age, right around 10 years old. And they're not all, you know, they're all different races, which I thought was kind of cool, you know, mixing in, which I guess is the way it should be anyway. And the kids are, you know, having fun bowling, and they're, you know, using a lot of, you know, there's stuff I don't even know what they're talking about because kids, you know, watch TV and they're quoting commercials and they're doing all this. Well, the kid rolls a strike, like, you know, he just, the 10-year-old kid throws a strike. It's the first strike of the night. The entire group starts Tebowing, and I'm like, you got to be kidding
Stop.
Me.
Stop.
No, they thought it was the coolest thing ever. Got to do it like Tebow, man. You just did it like Tebow, and I'm thinking, this is bowling.
Oh, my God.
And they're
God.
All, you just see these 10-year-old kids. It was the funniest. I started cracking up. They're on the bowling alley, all of them on a knee with their fist on their forehead doing the Tebow, and I'm like, that is just, that tells you right there the reach of Tim Tebow. 10-year-old kids are trying to mimic him when they go to strike
well, you know, again, you know that I'm not a big fan of Tim Tebow. I don't agree with all of the accolades that are coming his way. I mean, you know.
You got it. You're not sliding towards liking Tim Tebow yet?
No, not at all.
I did. I didn't like him when he was in college, but now I'm in his bandwagon.
You know, and I guess part of it for me is that I'm saving my love for Matt Stafford. This should be all be reserved for Matt Stafford, who is a much better quarterback than Tim Tebow. But as I say that, who's going to the next round of the playoffs and who's not? You know, that's my frustration. And of course, it's just one of those stories. But as I was reading this story yesterday about, you know, Jockey, you know, having huge sales increases, and especially amongst women, and they've got a female line of undergarments. You know, those sales are way up as well. You know, I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching. The mayor of Pittsburgh lost a bet, and had to wear a Tebow jersey and had to Tebow in some park in Pittsburgh. I'm thinking to myself. You know, really? How? What? Why? When? Where? I just don't get it. I don't get it. But then, you know, I read another thing yesterday. There's the John 3:16 that he painted on his face. Tebow painted on his face last weekend. You know, that was now trending worldwide because of Tim Tebow. It's like everything this guy touches is turning to gold, and I don't get it. What am I not getting, Jeff?
I don't know. I can't explain it either. Like I said, these 10-year-olds picked up on it. It's the cool thing to do. Yesterday, or the playoff game against the Steelers was by far the most watched football game of the last couple of weeks. And you're talking bowl games, championship bowl game, all these the NFL games, by far the most watched football game because Tebow was in the playoffs.
Yeesh. Yeah, well, hopefully Tom Brady and company will take care of that this weekend. And we can stop the Tebow mania until next year. But who do we give credit to? Was this a John Elway decision to pull everybody and let Tebow be the guy?
I think he probably played a small part of it, but he actually, you know, had controversial remarks, or he didn't. He said he's still going to draft a quarterback. So I think it was more
John Fox.
Yeah, John Fox.
All right. Well, anyway, when we come back, we got some audio to get to. We'll update the Turquia Mullins situation in Wayne County. And a lot more to go. Mitt Romney, of course, as far as I'm concerned, is spending a lot of time sticking feet in his own mouth. But we'll get to that. This is First Shift. Feel free to call us, 888-552-3595. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We're looking pretty good so far as you come down I-75, making your way towards 696. It's getting a little busier, especially on that southbound side for those heading in toward the Ruther. Fortunately, not yet seeing any big issues or delays, but whenever you've got rainy conditions, that's the kind of morning you want to give yourself a little extra time and expect some slower speeds.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be 41. Tonight, a rain-snow mixture. A low near 28. Tomorrow, look for snow and a high of 31. Right now, we do have that light rain out there, some fog and mist, and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. The home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is State Representative Harvey Santana.
Welfare was never intended to become a lifestyle. Are there abuses? Absolutely. But my question to the other side was, if you know where the abuses are, then why aren't we talking about that? Why are we talking about cutting people off so callously? I mean, there was never even a lead-in time. It was October 1st, that's it, you're caught off.
On 1310 WDTW.
Let's hear it for American Tradition Partnership. It's an organization that stands up for the politically dispossessed in our land. It goes to the highest courts to assert the fundamental rights of a minority that's been denied its full voice in America's political and governmental power circles. Yes, American Tradition Partnership is a tenacious advocate for, cue the patriotic music, corporations. Huh? Despite his grandiose name, American Tradition Partnership is a front group that funnels money from corporations into various political ads attacking candidates whom the corporations don't like, without identifying the corporate backers. Hoping to expand its laundry services for these secret donors, ATP filed suit in Montana to overturn the state's century-old ban on spending corporate funds in state and local elections. The front group argued that the ban restricts corporate influence over government policies. Wow, that's so twisted and anti-democratic that it'd make an American eagle scream in pain. But for arrogant corporate elites and their political lackeys, too much is never enough. The good news is that corporate lackeys don't yet control Montana's Supreme Court. On December 30th, the court's majority sided with democracy, common sense, and State Attorney General Steve Bullock, who argued for the people of Montana that corporations already have beaucoup ways to assert their oversized political power without needing to funnel secret money into our elections. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, the front group will now scamper to the corporate-friendly U.S. Supreme Court, pleading with it to stomp on this victory for democracy by overruling the state court and the people of Montana. To keep posted on this case and to fight for people power over corporate rule, go to www.freespeechforpeople.org. Freespeechforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1 888
855-252-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good, thanks for punching in this morning. I want to briefly mention Anthony brought it to my attention early this morning. Justin Verlander, Detroit Tigers ace pitcher, was on Conan O'Brien last night and spoke of many things, but and he was there to promote MLB 2012. He talked about his love of Taco Bell, which, by the way, I may be the only person in the world that's never eaten Taco Bell.
Never?
Ever.
You got to be kidding me. You've never had fourth meal?
Is Anthony in the studio?
Yeah, he's in the studio.
Ask him.
He's shaking his head.
Yeah, never. I mean, I've taken the boys to get Taco Bell, but you don't find me eating it.
Well, how is that, though? You go, you take them there, and you have a personal boycott against them?
Part of it is I don't consider it Mexican food, number one. And I happen to have a great deal of love for Mexican food. And back in college, I worked at a restaurant in Waterford that's still there called Mexico Lindo. Was there about a year ago for dinner to meet some friends, by the way. As good as it's ever been. They've been around for decades. Family-owned restaurant. And so my personal belief in love of Mexican food is based on authenticity. And I don't see Taco Bell as being authentic Mexican in any way, shape, or form.
I don't consider a McDonald's an authentic burger. In fact, I don't even know if it can considered a burger.
No, it is. It's real ground beef. No, I'd have to disagree with you.
There's a fast food burger, and then there's an actual burger.
Oh, listen, you're barking up the wrong tree. And in fact, if Anthony will join us a minute, we'll talk about when we owned our restaurant in Wyandotte. Anthony, what was probably the number one seller on our menu?
The Uncle Buck.
Yeah, the burgers.
Right, the Uncle Buck burger.
I mean, we did a true 8 ounce, Jeff, a true 8 ounce, a half pound burger cooked. So that's like 11 ounces of meat. Because once it cooks, you know, it loses its, you know, some of the juices and fat. Whatever.
Okay, so you're saying that's exactly like a McDonald's burger?
No.
They're comparable?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But it's a burger. So there are different, there are different categories. But I don't not consider McDonald's a burger. I mean, it's a burger. It's just not a bar burger. It's
a
not
fast food version of a burger. Much like Taco Bell is a fast food version of tacos.
I don't agree with that because, well, again, I've never eaten it, so I can't honestly say that it doesn't taste like Mexican food because I don't know that it doesn't. I just know that it doesn't look like Mexican food. It's not, and everything I know about Mexican food is not reflected in Taco Bell's food, except what they call it. And just because you wrap something in a tortilla doesn't make it Mexican. And I'm suspicious, as you should be as well. And you'll remember the story that came out a couple years ago about the meat that Taco Bell uses. You know what's the actual meat content? Because they also use oatmeal as a filler. I don't know if you remember that controversy a couple years back.
No, I don't.
Oh yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, one of the ingredients in their meat, quote unquote, is oatmeal. So it's not even real meat. And I just have issues with. So yes, I've never eaten Taco Bell. Now, if it were the only thing on earth to eat, would I eat it? Of course I would. But it's not the only thing on earth to eat, and there's no reason. And, you know, I've told people that, and they look at me like, seriously, dude? You have no idea what you're missing.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's one of those guilty pleasures. In fact, I don't like to eat fast food a lot anymore at all. I did when I was younger, obviously, but can't tell you the last time I ate, like, a McDonald's burger or anything like that. But Taco Bell's probably the last fast food I did have. I don't know. Do you consider Subway fast food? I don't consider them fast food.
All right. Patrick just sent me another email saying that, are you un-American? No Taco Bell. Best munchy food.
Are you un-American for not eating fast food in Mexico?
Well, then he asks the next question, do you eat White Castle? And I do eat White Castle.
Oh, wonderful. You eat White Castle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't eat it regularly, but I've eaten it. And I actually, every now and then, I actually have a taste for White Castle.
But you'd never stuff your turkey with it.
I definitely would not stuff my turkey with it. That was so crazy back at Thanksgiving time. Yeah. No, I wouldn't stuff my turkey with it.
And you probably wouldn't stuff your turkey with Taco Bell tacos either.
And I definitely would not stuff my... In fact, I don't stuff my turkey anyway. We you know, I like doing the stuffing outside the turkey. I just think it's safer that way. Yes, Taco Bell I'll eat. But Mike Castle I'll eat, but not Taco Bell. Again, it's just at this point, it might even just be, you know, a streak that I don't want to break. I don't know. I look at what they offer, and there's nothing. I don't find anything on there that appetizing. Although they're advertising some kind of burrito right now with the Flaming Hot Frito chips in it.
Oh yeah,
and that kind of piques my interest until I look at it. But they have rice in it. In the burrito.
You're not a big fan of rice and burritos?
I'm not a big fan. Again, it's got to be, you know, and I'm spoiled. It's got to be authentic Spanish rice. And I can assure you that Taco Bell isn't serving authentic Spanish rice. I can promise you that's not true. You know, I'm a little bit of a food snob, dude. I'm not going to deny that.
I'll say this much. You should, just to keep the streak going, you should do that. But other than that, you are kind of missing out.
On what?
Deliciousness. I'm just saying. Taco Bell is like one of the...
Do you have a favorite? I'm just asking. Do you have like a favorite Taco Bell meal? Because people, I would think, do. When you drive up to the drive... And I know you don't eat fast food anymore. But if you were to drive up to Taco Bell right now... What would you order?
Well, see, that's the thing. They can keep coming out with all these new fancy Fandango food things. I'm a hard taco kind of guy. Like, that's what I go for. I've had the double decker. That's pretty good. I don't go for any of the new stuff, the chalupa crap or any of the, you know, like you just said, they're throwing chips inside or whatever. I don't know. Tacos, bam, out the door.
All right, Anthony.
In fact, they have like a new deal. I think you can get like 12 tacos for like $9.
Right, yeah, I've seen that commercial. Anthony, if you go to Taco Bell, do you have like a usual that you go through, or do you have like, do you go with whatever the special is or what's new? What do you do?
Definitely the chalupa, which isn't new. I mean, it's been out for like 12 years now.
Right. So you're right, Jeff. It has been out a long time.
Well, yeah, I'd probably get the chalupa.
All right, see, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, the other thing is, and part of my bias against it is it's a little bit bait and switch from a financial standpoint. Because although the stuff may seem quite inexpensive, in order to fill yourself up, you got to buy a lot of it because, you know, two bites and a lot of that stuff is gone. Right?
Yeah. No, yeah.
So if you're actually going to get a meal... You know, so maybe something's 89 cents, but in order to really get a meal out of it, you got to buy five or six of them.
And especially if you go to, there's one city in particular that's kind of known for its bad service because, well, I don't know, young kids, you know, the kids in high school get jobs around there. Anyway, went to the Taco Bell there.
Where? You got to say where.
It's Celine.
Okay.
Sorry, Celine, but it's true. You're known for your bad service for fast food places. And certain restaurants. Anyway, I went to Taco Bell there, and I ordered a hard shell taco. Open it up, and I kid you not, three quarters of the taco completely empty. The shell is just empty. In the one quarter at the end, stuffed in there is a little bit of lettuce and some meat, and that was it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I paid $1 for a shell of a taco, basically.
Did you go back and correct it?
No. See, by that time, I was already down the road, you know, and I'd have to drive, turn around, and raise hell for $1.
And that's the other thing about Taco Bell. Every time I have been there, whether it's for the boys or I stop for somebody else, you have to wait in that frickin' drive-through line forever.
Because everyone loves it. There's a line for a reason.
No, like, I mean, Yogi even Bear. When there's not a line. I mean, it's just, it takes forever to get your food. I just don't get it. And again, it's the expense. You know, you think, okay, you look at the menu and you see all this stuff. It's not that expensive. 89 cents, 79 cents, 99 cents, $1.29. All right, so then people start ordering and then all of a sudden it's $15. It's like, well, how the hell did that happen?
Oh, that's what they love. They love when it happens like that. That's why they call it fourth meal, because people are... in a state of extreme hunger at weird times of the day, so you go there and you're like...
No, they're neither drunk or stoned. That's what they're
right.
trying to say.
I was trying to say it in a weird, nice way, I guess. And yeah, suddenly things, you just keep looking at it and you're like, oh, I'll take one of those. It's only a dollar. I'll take one of those. And the next thing you know, you know, you've piled up 15 to 20.
All right, I need to apologize to the audience because they can't ever get this 12 minutes back. I didn't mean to rant on and on about... I was actually talking about Justin Verlander, and it ended up being a discussion about my not eating Taco Bell. And apparently those that are listening are sending me emails. So I guess I'm going to apologize. I'm just not, you know, so might as well finish the conversation now that we're just a little over a minute away from the break. If I do eat fast food, I actually prefer Wendy's or Burger King over anything else.
Ah, Wendy's actually beat Burger King. They're number two in the fast food industry now.
They just
passed them.
Yes, by virtue of sales.
Speaking real quickly, though, of Verlander, which is what you started the topic off with, it's funny because people, you know, have you heard the recent trade rumors about the Tigers?
Kerry Wood?
Garza.
Oh, Garza, yes.
Garza for, and then a package of prospects, one including Jacob Turner. And I've heard a lot of people kind of souring on Jacob Turner. Do you know Jacob Turner's first 12? Look up, well, you know, you don't have to do this, but his first 12 innings, very, very similar to Justin Verlander's first 11 innings as a pro.
Really?
Yeah, crazy.
Huh. All right, let's take a break, and we'll do something, I promise, more substantive on the other side. I promise. If you would like to join us, 888-552-3595. Hell, if you want to, you know, berate me about not eating Taco Bell, as emailers are doing, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat it. Feel free to do that. We'll take the break and we'll be back. This is 1310 WDTW. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brad Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is Bob Picano continues to show a pattern. After a while, you begin to wonder. And listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Picano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County and I live in Michigan, and you don't want... Man, you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us at Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
All right. I so want to just make one more comment, but I won't do it. I promise. I won't do it. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. Thanks for punching in this morning. This is more serious stuff. We got to be a little lighthearted now and then. And on to more serious stuff. Heather Catallo from WXYZ Channel 7. On the latest in what's being called Severance Gate in Wayne County, Turkia Mullen, an update on that case. Let's just go into the audio.
More than $700,000 in severance is at stake here. And tonight, the attorney for the man who's suing the airport authority is claiming that the airport authority never should have allowed that severance clause in Turkia Mullen's contract.
After the 7 Action News investigators exposed the $200,000 in severance that Turkia Mullen received just to quit her Wayne County job to take over as CEO of Metro Airport, she had to give the money back to the taxpayers. Now Mullen is fighting for severance from the airport. The Wayne County Airport Authority fired her at the end of October after less than 2 months on the job. Mullen's airport severance clause called for her to receive the remainder of her $750,000 contract if she was fired without cause. One of the attorneys for the union activist who's suing the airport authority is now saying the airport authority board never should have allowed that severance clause in her contract. Carl Marlinga wrote this letter to Attorney General Bill Schuette, asking Schuette to intervene in the case. Marlinga says state law requires the airport authority to enter into only an at-will contract with its chief executive officer so that the chief executive officer serves at the pleasure of the airport authority board and may be terminated at any time with or without cause. Marlinga says Mullen's severance clause, in effect, was written to avoid and defeat the statutory requirements of an at-will contract. The Attorney General's chief legal counsel sent Marlinga an email saying they reviewed his request carefully, but quote, unfortunately, we are without the resources needed to intervene in every case, which might impact the interests of the Michigan public. Union activist Robert Davis issued this statement tonight saying, I am hopeful that Attorney General Schuette reconsiders his decision.
A spokesman for the airport says because there's a lawsuit going on, they can't comment on the letter to the Attorney General. And I should point out, airport officials maintain they are not funded by public money. If Mullen's airport severance ultimately does get paid, the Wayne County taxpayers won't be footing the bill.
All right, and there we go as that update goes. I will tell you, and we're going to try to follow up and get into this a little deeper, to find out what the obligation is, because she says at the end of this, and I'd never heard that before, that the taxpayers would not be responsible for this severance package. Who would? Is there some kind of, and I don't know the answer to it, is there some kind of insurance policy? I mean, how the heck do you cover that? That's the question. All right, let's for a moment go to Facebook. If you've not been to the First Shift page, I'd appreciate you doing it and liking it while you're there. But if you have, you know that we do a poll question every morning. And, you know, Patrick reminds me that we haven't done a contest in a while. So we need to do that. We were doing the caption contest. So, Jeff, let's make a concerted effort to try to do that at least once a week. Because we still have hats we can give away. Still have some coffee mugs, I think. But let's make a commitment to doing that. Anyway, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is Matty Maroon good for Detroit or bad for Detroit? And early on, he's not doing too well in our poll. The reason that I posed that question today, I also posted to our First Shift Facebook page an article in this morning's Detroit Free Press about Matty Maroon, who is the owner of the Ambassador Bridge. And he is going to court today and actually may face jail time for not following court orders in doing some necessary construction work on this side of the Ambassador Bridge. With that said, there are those, including my good friend, who was with us right before the holidays, Kevin Moore, who is the president of Teamsters Local 299, who deals with Manny Maroon on a regular basis, has a couple Teamsters contracts with him that says he is a great corporate citizen, treats his employees very well, is a fierce bargainer, but ultimately takes care of his workforce. And certainly he is a billionaire, has earned that money. And is he just taking a bad rap, or is he, you know, the greedy curmudgeon that some of us would some would like us to believe that he could be? So just asking the question. And obviously, at some level, folks, I got to tell you that because Manny Maroon knows how to work the media, maybe his publicist needs to be fired. And I say that very seriously. I think that maybe his publicist needs to be canned because ultimately not doing a good job. Not doing a good job of making him look good. If indeed he's a good guy, maybe he's not a good guy. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know him. Based on what I do know, I don't like what I hear. I certainly don't like the fact that he's, you know, and again, he's got as much, I guess, a right to do it as anybody else. Because he's got the money to do it, buying off politicians. And we know that he did that with regard to the bridge question, the new bridge question. He wants to build it. He wants to control it because then he gets the money for it. It's that simple. It's that simple. Follow the money. Again, follow the money. But it's that simple. Indeed, that's true. So at 1 o'clock this afternoon, actually at noon, because they invited me to lunch, I'll be out at UAW Region 1. To participate in a panel discussion with some dignitaries, Kevin Hurt from the Michigan Democratic Party, Mary Beth Cahill, the political director of the United Auto Workers, the former chairperson of John Kerry's run for the presidency. She was John Kerry's campaign manager. I got to know her by virtue of interviewing her on half a dozen of occasions during the Kerry campaign. There's somebody else, but I don't know who the other person is. Anyway, I'll be participating on a panel discussion this afternoon on union activism and why it's important that they get reengaged in the process of political organizing. And I got plenty to say, as y'all know, because I do it every day on this show. And Jeff, I have to tell you, I received a letter last night via email asking me if I would consider being the keynote speaker at the United Steelworkers annual convention in Kalamazoo on Saturday evening, March 3rd, 2012.
Wow. That's pretty honorable.
Absolutely. They expect upwards of 400 or more people. They have a nice dinner. They've got a band. It's a big night. It's a big night.
They got a band?
They have a band.
Is it like big band music?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm honored.
Is it heavy metal?
Okay. All right. That's really a good place to stop because since we really butchered this hour anyway, why don't we get out of here while we still can? I promise you, in the next hour, we've got much more substantive stuff. So we'll get to that. So you'll want to stay where you're at. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Thank you for punching in. I want to remind you, you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. We're actually doing pretty well out there as traffic is building. More folks are getting out there, and that has the potential for problems because we do have wet roadways out there. But looks like so far we're actually in pretty good shape. Drivers coming up from downriver as you make your way from West Road up toward Eureka, towards Southfield Road. We're doing real well for those heading up and over in toward the city. I'm Diane Cross, traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be 41. Tonight, a rain-snow mixture, a low near 28. Tomorrow, look for snow and a high of 31. Right now, we do have that light rain out there, some fog and mist, and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news this hour, the Marine Corps is investigating a video that purportedly shows members of one of its sniper teams urinating on dead bodies in Afghanistan. Retired Army General Mark Kimmett says this would be considered a criminal act if true.
I would expect that you would see within the Uniform Code of Military Justice charges being brought up against these troops for dereliction of duty and a host of other articles.
A Mississippi judge has issued a temporary injunction blocking the release of any more prisoners given pardons by outgoing Governor Haley Barbour. Five prisoners were freed Sunday, including four convicted murderers. One of those is David Gatlin, convicted in the 1993 killing of estranged wife Tammy Ellis. A friend of Ellis, Randy Walker, survived when Gatlin shot him in the head. Walker says Barbour's pardons will be a nationwide safety issue.
How is the state of Mississippi better off? How's the country better off? Because all these guys aren't staying in Mississippi. They're going to be all over the United States.
Severe storms damaged or destroyed homes in western North Carolina last night. Residents of Burke and Rutherford counties took cover after tornado warnings were issued. Several injuries are reported. Burke County resident Debbie Travis was in her home when the storm tore it apart.
It happened so fast. I mean, you could hear it coming, and it's like a whirlwind, and you could hear the stuff being ripped off.
The global research firm HSBC predicts that China will have the world's top economy by the year 2050. It says the U.S. will fall into second place. The Green Bay Packers have been hit hard by the death of 21-year-old Michael Philbin, the son of the team's offensive coordinator. Packers coach Mike McCarthy says it's been tough as they try to prepare for Sunday's playoff game against the New York Giants.
I think the reality of this, it just gave everybody a punch in the heart.
The young man's body was pulled from a river this week, a day after he went missing while visiting friends. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
An internet pioneer is finding itself falling further behind. Yahoo, in the web's early days, the far and away dominant website for searching and surfing, is now number 3. Web traffic tracker ComScore reports that in December, fewer than 15% of U.S. web searches were made using Yahoo. As for the first time, slightly more than 15% used Microsoft Bing. Google is still tops by a long shot. 66% of all web searches in the U.S. last month were Google's. More than 100 grocery stores along the East Coast will close their doors as their owner, Belgian supermarket operator Delhaize, cuts almost 5,000 jobs. Chains affected include Food Lion and Hannaford. Vestas, the world's biggest wind turbine maker, says it's cutting 2,300 jobs worldwide, and 1,600 U.S. job cuts soon could be coming when a big energy tax credit expires. Stock markets in Asia mostly lower in trading today. European indexes higher. S&P futures up 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost. A share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm eating cake, so...
How about a new resolution? To save.
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now. First Shift.
With Tony Trupiano.
And thanks for punching in with us this morning. Crawling up on 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, January 12th, 2012 program. A pleasure to be with you as always. We've got a very, very busy hour. We're going to get to Bruce Felk in just a moment. We've got Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. At 7:35, at 7:50, of course, Eric Shelley from Occupy Detroit will be with us to talk about the restoration project. Give us an update on that, how many properties they're restoring at this point. And, of course, we do have a little bit of time for open lines as well. So we're going to get it all in. I promise you that is true. And again, we've got a lot going on. Don't forget, in the next hour, David Hecker will be with us, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. So a great show today. Those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis know last week we spoke with Stuart Sternberg of St. Clair County, who is involved in the recall Senator Phil Pavlov campaign. Well, the recall of Senator Phil Pavlov. There's another, and they're working very closely with Michigan Rising on that effort. There's also, for those of you that have been paying attention, especially towards the end of 2011, some of the newspapers picked up a story that an organization called Michigan Rising will be mounting a new effort to recall Governor Rick Snyder. Well, joining us now is Bruce Felk. Now, of course, most of you have heard him on the show before. He's, of course, the owner and of the Rochester Citizen. But he's here today with a different hat on. He is now and recently signed as the spokesperson for Michigan Rising, and he joins us in that capacity today. And, Bruce, it's a pleasure to have you back on First Shift.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, you know, there are going to be some that are going to say, recall, really? Recall? Come on, Bruce, you know, shouldn't we just take our lumps and get over it? Your response to that would be what?
Hell no.
Fair enough.
Hell no. We've got too many bad things going on in Michigan. I mean, there's been a little bit of good news lately, but Rick Snyder is doing even worse things than Scott Walker is doing in Wisconsin, and probably Rick Scott in Florida, and all this new, you know, this new crowd of Republican governors that were elected in 2010. We have to get rid of them. His policies are just really bad for Michigan.
How do you respond to people that that signed? Now I'm going to kind of break this down in a couple different categories. So stay with me a minute for Bruce. Let's first just address those that signed petitions the first time around. You know, what's your message to them when, because we're not talking, you guys aren't doing this next week. We're not starting with petitions next week. So we'll talk about when this campaign is really going to get going. But why should they sign that petition again?
Well, I think if anything, things have gotten worse since the time that we launched the first campaign to recall Rick Snyder. You know, even though the unemployment rate has ticked down a little bit. The emergency manager bill is causing havoc across the country. I mean, think about it. Detroit, if you know, we don't know which way it's going to go yet, but if Detroit were to be put under an emergency manager bill, what's the most valuable asset you probably can think of that the city of Detroit owns? The water system, the sewer system. Imagine if the emergency manager got a hold of that and said, you know, look, the finances in Detroit are so bad, the only thing one of the first things we have to do when the emergency manager takes over is sell off the water system to a private corporation. Imagine having all of Southeast Michigan's water under the control of a private company. And that's unfathomable to me.
Well, that is unfathomable to me as well. So now we've dealt with, Bruce, we've dealt with those that have signed before. What about those that were volunteering the first time around that put their heart and soul? In fact, you are one of those people, so I guess I'm speaking to you as well. How do you respond to those people that were disappointed with the results of the first the campaign? How do you deal with that?
You know, stuff happens. We didn't make it. It was a grassroots effort. We didn't make our goal, but we accomplished. You know, the first effort was a miracle to get 500,000 signatures on only $40,000. You know, here in Wisconsin, where I'm staying right now for the moment, and by the way, I have lived in Michigan all my life, and I think you probably know that. But, because some people, when I did another interview, thought I was some kind of carpetbagger, but I do live in Michigan, and I've lived there all my life, so let's not get that out of the way. But, the volunteers, I mean, yeah, you're disappointed. It didn't work, but we got 500,000 signatures. We're going to be able to build off of that database. We're getting all that information into a database. We're going to be able to go back and contact those people again. We've got a much more robust fundraising effort underway. We learned a lot from the first effort. And so we're going to move forward. We're really confident. We've got a good group of people. There's some disgruntled people out there, but I think there's a lot more people that are focused on the problem and the solution rather than the few people that are focused on the negatives that came forward from last time. So we learned a lot and we're moving forward.
Well, you know, you talk about learning, and obviously, of course, I would hope to hear you say that. Yes, of course, you learn from the past. What are key elements, Bruce? I mean, obviously, we still need to collect a massive amount of signatures. It still needs to be done in a very specific set of time, and maybe that's where I should start this. When are you going to actually start the process of collecting signatures? Why don't we start with that question?
Well, we're probably looking at the April-May time frame. We're talking about a rally in Lansing in May. They're talking about submitting the new language. We have to start basically from scratch as far as the actual legal process,
right?
Recalling the governor. So there's going to be new language submitted. We're going to start probably working toward collecting signatures, I would say, mid to late April would probably be the time frame we're looking at, and then hopefully a big rally, Wisconsin style in Lansing sometime in May. I think there's about three open weekends in May because we have Mother's Day, we have Memorial Day, so there's probably only three weekends we can really realistically look at in May. And we're going to launch this in a big way. I'm hearing, like I said, I'm here in Wisconsin. They're going to have their announcement on Tuesday. I think we're going to have a lot of momentum coming out of Wisconsin because they are going to be successful. And I'm hoping to even bring some of the Wisconsin folks to Michigan for our rally in May because they've just done a phenomenal job here. And I'm going to be visiting with some of the Wisconsin people that are actually doing the quality control, some of the backroom stuff. Here probably before I come home to Michigan.
What kind of response or feedback are you getting on the advent of the new recaller? We'll call it Recall 2.0 on Rick Snyder. What kind of response are you getting in general?
It's mostly positive. You know, I've been posting a lot more stuff to the Facebook page recently, and it's mostly positive. You know, I would say people are, you know, they're looking at what's happening in Michigan still, especially, you know, the emergency manager class size in their schools. You know, the fact that now the seniors are actually getting hit with the tax on their pensions. You know, a lot of the policy changes in the legislation that Exciter and the Republican legislators put in place, legislatures put in place, are now being felt by people, and I think we're going to have a lot more angry people than we did the first time around, because it was just, we're almost there. We're going to put these policies into place. Now they're in place. You know, pensioners are actually seeing what the hit is on their pensions, and I think people are going to be excited once we get launched.
You don't want to certainly capitalize on people's anger, but unfortunately, Bruce, and when it comes to politics and it comes to righting wrongs, sometimes that's all you have are people's anger, unfortunately.
Well, that's what happened, here in Wisconsin when Scott Walker dropped the bomb as far as, you know, going after collective bargaining. Look what happened. That was the launching point. And I think Michigan has a real risk of becoming a right-to-work state going forward. And I'm hoping the unions recognize that. I don't know if there's been some deal struck to keep that from happening. But even if Snyder doesn't sign the bill and he vetoes it, they still have supermajorities in both houses. They could override the veto, and you know, Michigan becomes a right-to-work state anyway.
Well, I can assure you, Bruce, that the labor is all over the right-to-work issue. Have you? Of course, you know, one of the big problems with the last recall was that labor didn't get behind the recall of Governor Snyder. Any indication how they're going to ring in this time?
Not yet. We're going to be reaching out to them again shortly. And we hope that they recognize that the risk that they're under, and that recalling the governor is something they're going to eventually have to get behind. Even if the unions, the leadership doesn't get behind it, we're going to be trying to get to the members themselves, and you know that it's in their best interest to work with us on some level this time, and certainly not work against us. And so hopefully, you know, the members themselves will see that their livelihood is at risk, and they're going to get out there and sign the petitions and hopefully volunteer and get signatures and canvas and go door to door, whatever it takes to get the job done.
Well, you know, certainly, and it was frustrating, there's no question about that, in the last go-around that labor wasn't a wholesale supporting the recall effort. At the same time, I also didn't see them getting in the way. But Bruce, in a perfect world, we would have been successful the first time, right? So let's hope we can learn from our past and see what happens moving forward. I like the deliberateness of what you folks are doing right now. Certainly, you're setting yourselves up in a proper way, and I would think that come April, things will be in order. Hopefully you'll have raised the kind of money you'll need to have the volunteer force you need, and make that whole process a lot easier. And I'm sure, Bruce, we'll be checking back in with you. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
All right, Bruce Felk with Michigan Rising. A quick break here. We'll be open lines at the bottom of the hour, so if you'd like to punch in, do it now, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource. Our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good Thursday morning, Tony. Our total traffic update getting a little busier along I-75 southbound. Traffic coming in toward 12 mile as you head south in towards 696, down toward about that 9 mile curve. But we kind of get that every single morning. But this morning we're having to deal with the weather, which is adding a little layer of extra slow going. You want to keep your speeds down because we do have some mist in some areas, seeing some rain. Some folks are even seeing some fog.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service does include a pretty good chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 44. Tonight, look for that rain-snow mixture to move in, and a low near 28. Tomorrow, we're going to see some snow and a high near 31. Right now at Metro Airport, we do still have light rain, fog, and mist, and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. And I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living or Platinum Plus carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on new carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Might be one of my favorite rejoins. I love the way you wrote it, Jeff. I love the music you used. I think really one of my favorite new rejoins. And people are noticing, by the way, Anthony and Jeff. Got a couple of emails yesterday, people noticing the new elements in the show, are liking them, are liking the new opens for our regular guests. So it's nice to know that people are paying attention. We do appreciate that.
We'll debut another one today, in fact, in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, David Hecker. So, absolutely. And we should probably put a little something together for Occupy Detroit, since that seems to be something that's going to stick. And we'll work on that. In fact, somebody had sent me a song, an Occupy, not an Occupy Detroit, but an Occupy song that she had written and a friend of hers had recorded, and it's pretty powerful. Anyway, welcome back. Again, we're open lines at the bottom of the hour. After that, we're going to be fulled up where we will be. Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, will be with us at 7:35. At 7:50, of course, we'll be joined by Occupy Detroit. Eric Shelley will be our guest today talking about the restoration project. I want to talk a little bit, of course, about the Republican presidential dilemma, if you will. And Mitt Romney, it's going to get tougher for him. I got to tell you, every time I watch him, and I use the word carefully, I chose my words carefully, watch, because Mitt Romney has body language that makes me really, gives me an idea of where he's coming from, because sometimes he's very uncomfortable in his own skin. I'm sure many of you have realized that. And by the way, a real quick side note here. Yesterday I had posted that there is a striking similarity, and it has nothing to do with anything, but there's this striking similarity between Mitt Romney and Andy Dillon, the state treasurer, former House Majority Leader. But there is a remarkable similarity, a likeness between the two of them, and that got quite a play on the First Shift Facebook page yesterday. So if you want to go over to the Facebook page, you'll find it. It's just scroll down a little bit. But it was just like one of those random things. And I've tried to be more interactive on Facebook during the day. I'm sure some of you are noticing it. I appreciate you, those of you that are engaging. Today I will not be, because I'm going to be at UAW Region 1. So I won't be on Facebook much this afternoon, but it will be interesting. I want to go to a little bit of audio. Frank Lutz, for those of you that, Lutz, those of you don't know, is a wordsmith. He is a master of words. He is the chief communicator. Now, he works for mostly Republican causes. And yesterday, Frank Lutz said that the Republicans should stay away from the word capitalism and instead defend economic freedom. You don't think it matters? Think again. Let's listen to this audio.
But this is going to be spun. Attacking Newt. Newt makes no sense. I mean, I'd be interested in Frank's take on this. Newt is making no sense at the moment. He claims to be running to the right of Mitt Romney, but he's attacking him to the left. And so does Rick Perry. How does this make sense?
You've got crony capitalism, or as I prefer to call it, special interest capitalism. And nobody supports that. The problem is if conservatives end up having to defend it, the indefensible, that's where they go down the tubes. Right. And you've got now presidential candidates that are potentially running opposite of what the House and Senate Republicans stand, and then you've got a nightmare. Their language is wrong.
You talk about language. Let me read you some of the language. Ethics get thrown out the door. How much money can we make in a hurry? Now, this is Governor Perry's criticism of Mitt Romney. It goes on, this is vulture capitalism, picking the bones, cleaning these people out who lose their jobs.
I can see the ad, by the way. Sean, the ad is cut. They're doing it right now at the Democratic National Committee. Right. And they're going to show Republican after Republican after Republican damning capitalism. But here's the problem. Conservatives should not be defending capitalism. They should be defending economic freedom.
Right.
And there is a difference. The word capitalism was created by Karl Marx to demonize those people who make a profit. Right. We've always talked about the free enterprise system or economic freedom, and suddenly they're trying to defend something that has only 18% support.
Well, listen, a great conversation. And I've got to tell you, words matter. I mean, words matter. And that's really where I want to focus. Part of the reason I do First Word every morning is words matter. They do. And trust me, in the political spectrum, as we break down words, and Joe DeSano, maybe we'll ask him about this tomorrow, but he will tell you, because Joe does a lot of writing. Every single word matters. The way you use it, the way you stack them, the order in which the words are delivered, they all matter. There's a cadence to words. And again, as Frank Lund said, it's very difficult to defend certain things no matter what your political persuasion is. And Republicans are painting themselves into a corner. And because Mitt Romney is a venture capitalist, and that's how he made his millions of dollars, it's not something he can run from. So the dialogue, to force him into a dialogue that is difficult to defend, and it just is. In fact, Mitt Romney likes to compare the work that he did at Bain with what Obama did with GM and Chrysler. Let's go ahead and play quickly that audio. We got that, Mitt Romney comparing his work at Bain? All right, no problem. We'll have it in just a second.
People here in the state know that in the work that I had, we started a number of businesses, invested in many others, and that overall created tens of thousands of jobs. So I'm pretty proud of that record. And by the way, in the general election, I'll be pointing out that the president took the reins of General Motors and Chrysler, closed factories, closed dealerships, laid off thousands and thousands of workers. He did it to try and save the business. We also had, on occasion, to do do things that are tough to try and save a business. I can tell you one thing, though. I'm going to go to Washington and cut it down to size. Washington is simply too big.
Well, you know, and interestingly, first of all, President Obama didn't do what Mitt Romney said he did. They closed very few plants. In fact, saved most of the jobs that needed to be saved. Yes, some dealerships closed, but, you know, when they reworked that deal, a lot of these dealerships reopened. Some of them needed to be closed because we were oversaturated with dealerships throughout the country. So, yeah, there were tough decisions that had to be made, and they were made. But it's so interesting because had it have been up to Romney, the autos would have just gone away. They would have died. They would have withered away and died, and then he would have been fine with that. But because he can use it for his purposes, he all of a sudden revives it. Ah, Mitt, you know, you're smarter than this. You truly are. And he really is. I mean, Mitt Romney's not a stupid guy, folks. Don't let yourself be fooled. And I think one of the mistakes that the Democrats sometimes make is, you know, we see a Republican and, you know, they don't seem to get something. And so we make an assumption that they're stupid. Mitt Romney's not a stupid man. You don't become a multi-millionaire if you're stupid. The last thing this man is stupid. He may not be very cunning. He may not be very politically astute from time to time. But he's the last thing this man is stupid. So just keep that in mind. Carlos Swift with the Michigan AFL-CIO when we continue. Stay with us. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to First to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes things getting a little busier along 275. Drivers heading in toward the interchange with M14 going west toward Ann Arbor or I-96 east heading maybe out toward Telegraph, maybe all the way in toward downtown along the Jefferies. Looks like we're actually doing pretty well there. Traffic is picking up, and you want to keep your speed slow this morning, but fortunately not seeing any kind of really big delays.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service does include a pretty good chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 44 tonight. Look for that rain-snow mixture to move in and a low near 28. Tomorrow we're going to see some snow and a high near 31. Right now at Metro Airport, we do still have light rain, fog, and mist and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Working America is urging the White House and all 50 state attorneys general to hold big banks accountable for the mortgage crisis and not let them off with what amounts to a slap on the wrist. Working America's Christian Norton.
Mortgage banks and the state attorney generals are in a conversation right now to try to work out a settlement, basically to hold them accountable for the fraudulent mortgage practices that really put us in this economic strife that we're in right now. And we want to make sure that we get the best possible settlement for workers. This is really one of our last chances to get real relief for working families. There's about 7.5 million homes that are in the foreclosure process and another 11 million at risk. So the settlement has to make sure that it takes into account all of those families. It needs to be real accountability. And if we just go with a slap on the wrist, you know, that's not going to really help the working families. We need to have a full accountability. We need to have real relief.
A major Chinese manufacturing facility for Apple and Microsoft apparently is treating workers so poorly that they're resorting to suicide threats. Jesse Russell reports.
Workers at a Foxconn plant in Wuhan, China, have threatened mass suicide after the company announced they would be denying a pay increase. Foxconn builds electronic products for numerous worldwide corporations, such as Apple and Microsoft, and this plant specifically produces the popular gaming console Xbox 360. The employees were given the option of keeping their jobs without a pay raise or resigning from their jobs and receive compensation in exchange. After the workers quit their jobs and no payout materialized, 300 workers reportedly went to the factory, climbed to the roof, and threatened to jump. After a day-long standoff, the workers were eventually coaxed down by the mayor of Wuhan. Microsoft has said it will launch an investigation into the working conditions at the Chinese factory. Foxconn has a long history of violating codes of conduct it has in place with U.S. companies. In 2010, it was recorded that at the least 14 workers committed suicide due to labor conditions. The company produces numerous products, including Amazon's Kindle, Apple's iPods and iPhones, and the Nintendo Wii.
This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift. With Tony Triano.
Welcome back. It is 35 minutes after the hour on this Thursday, January 12, 2012 program. This afternoon, led by Carla Swift, the president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, and a variety of citizen groups, are going to unveil a 2012 jobs agenda for the state of Michigan. It is bold, it is daring, it is real, it will require a response by the Republicans because it is not demure. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is for people that are looking to engage and to employ. And joining us now on the other end of my line is Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. And Carla, happy New Year to you, and congratulations. We're going to have to reconnect with her. apparently, we lost her. We got her. You there, Carla?
Yep,
oh, wonderful. Okay. You must have just hit the wrong button. Anyway, I want to congratulate you on this bold agenda. I have to tell you, and again, Happy New Year to you. I'm pretty excited about what I see in front of me.
Well, thanks, Tony, and Happy New Year to you. It's good to be back. We're excited, too. You know, we have a lot of work ahead of us, and we need to get focused with, you know, laser-like precision on creating jobs and helping solve the jobs crisis in Michigan. There's been way too much time wasted in the legislature and in Lansing last year, and we're going to move forward and work with anybody who wants to work with us and the others that share these same values and have a common vision for Michigan and for the people who are working and want to work and keep that keep this economy going in Michigan.
Well, before we get into some specifics, and I know I want to save, I don't want to steal all your thunder again. You've got a big press conference this afternoon, and we'll save some of it certainly for that. But I do want to mention some of the people that are, if you will, partnering with you, and some of them are going to be very familiar to this audience, like the Blue-Green Alliance, Clean Water Action, the Michigan Citizen Action, Michigan League for Human Services, Progress Michigan, and the Sierra Club, and We Are the People, among others, as we take a look at that very diverse group that represent, I would suggest, pretty much everybody that has a stake in what's happening here in Michigan, Carla Swift.
Well, it is a broad base of support, and we are going to be getting more support. You know, we're just really publicly beginning to talk about this today, and these are folks that have come forward in the last few days, and again want to stand behind this kind of agenda going forward, and there will be others that will be, I believe, stepping up to support this kind of a plan going forward as well.
And I would, and if I'm wrong, you'll correct me, I would suggest if there are people listening to us this morning that feel like they've got a pony in this race, they should contact you at the AFL-CIO and let them know what's on their agenda, see if you can work with them to, again, create jobs. This is all about taking care of families here in Michigan.
Well, that's right. You know, we've, as I said, had a jobs crisis in Michigan that, you know, may look like it's or feel like it's getting a little better, but unemployment is still way too high, and it's time to really redouble our efforts, work more aggressively, and accelerate the accelerate our way through this and really get serious about it.
Well, you know, one of the realities, and again, I don't mean to be a downer, but Carla, one of the realities is that although we did see an uptick in jobs, we know a lot of those jobs were seasonal. And we probably won't see until February or March those adjusted numbers. We don't have time to wait for the guessing game. We know that we need to create more dynamic, good, middle-class jobs. And we know a lot of the jobs that were created, especially in November and December, will go away with the holidays being gone.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, you get 1 or 2 months of good numbers don't a recovery make. And you're absolutely right. We can't afford to wait. We need to move ahead.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the specifics since we have you here and some of the highlights of the plan that that you and again that broad base of the groups is proposing at their press conference this afternoon. One of them is that really piqued my interest was protecting workers and middle class families, and you know, and It may get old for people, but it shouldn't, because ultimately, Carla, we need to start taking care of each other, and one of the ways to do that is to work together, and if this legislature would do that, they may actually find that there's a whole lot of support out there for what needs to be done.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, in previous years, we have worked very collaboratively with the legislature and members in on both sides of the aisle, but that just hasn't been the case in the last 12 months, and that's part of the problem. Is there are some, you know, folks that don't share the same priorities that we do, making decisions without incorporating input and without collaborating with folks from different views, and so we get these sort of short-term solutions that aren't addressing, you know, the long-term problem that we have in Michigan.
How do you deal as one of the state's top labor leaders? How do you deal with that, though? I mean, you have to work with these people at some level, Carla.
Absolutely, and this is why we're every year we roll out a Working Families Agenda, and this year we're doing it in the form of this 2012 jobs plan, and you know, we're saying the door is open. Let's all work together on this. We're all in this together, and we all need to create the best solutions to get out of this thing, and the best way to create the best solutions is to involve all the stakeholders.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I want to talk about the outsourcing of Michigan jobs. You know, this is something that has come up on the show. I've been on since May, Carl, and I'll bet you it's come up, and I'm not exaggerating, 20, maybe even 30 times. And yet all it ever is a discussion, and maybe it's time we take it away from just that category and move it to action. I found it fascinating, and again, I thought it was keen that it ended up on your list of things that needs to be addressed, but it needs to be more than just discussed.
Well, that's absolutely right, you know, and it should be on the list, because we keep putting our own people out of job by giving work to people in other places, and we need to stop doing that, especially when it's tax dollars and we're privatizing work, and especially privatizing it to workers in other states or in other countries. That needs to stop.
Yeah, and I'll even go as far as to say this is not just, you know, this is a bipartisan problem. The Democrats have done it, the Republicans have done it, and it just needs to stop, period.
That's absolutely right. There's just really no excuse for digging the hole deeper.
Well, you know, and what I find fascinating about this, and again, if we take it just out of the discussion category and actually put it into an action agenda item, is we would save money by insourcing these jobs. I just find it so interesting, because we have studies that tell us that we're not saving. In fact, in many cases, it's actually costing us more money to outsource these jobs.
Yes. That is absolutely right, and one of the things that we need to do to address that is to have a contract responsibility legislation that would make it more transparent and would force the folks who are making these decisions to you know, lay out the facts and really do the homework and do the study that's required, so that decisions about, you know, where to buy goods and services truly are based on adequate research.
Yeah, well, again, I'm glad to see it on the agenda, and more importantly, I'm glad to see it's an action item, and it's something that this legislature should no longer be allowed to ignore, because that's what they continue to do with this. And listen, the Republicans, this falls at their feet mostly, Carla, because they have the majority, and I would suggest, because I've talked to you privately, that you're not going to let them get away with ignoring this. I know that that's something that you're not going to allow to happen.
Well, we have, as you know, all of our affiliates are, a part of this jobs plan, as are those partners that you mentioned earlier, and there will be others to come. And we will be talking with the legislators on both sides of the aisle and the Republicans. We welcome the opportunity to work with anybody who wants to create jobs in Michigan, and we will not stop until we solve some of these problems.
No, as I'm reading the agenda, and one of the things I see is something that President Obama tried to do not just a few months back, and that's, of course, is rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. What a shame it is, Carla, that here we are in the year 2012, and Michigan still doesn't get it, that our roads, our infrastructure, the reason that businesses move to states is because they have good roads and they have good infrastructure and they have transit. All of the things that this president wants to do and that the Republicans continue to ignore, both at the national level and at the state level, again, can no longer be left off the table. These are things we now have to deal with.
Well, that's absolutely right. This is another one. We can't afford to wait. We need to remake our infrastructure, particularly the parts of it that are crumbling, but also we have advances to make that we just aren't making. So we aren't competing with some other states and with some other cities that have, attractive, safe, and healthy places for people to live and work. And so, yeah, we need to make those investments in our cities and in our roads and bridges, and our bus and sewer and rail systems. It's good for all of us. It's not just good for people who ride the buses. It's good for the communities, and it's good for business. They use these roads, too, to transport their goods.
Well, Carl, I got to tell you, it's a very impressive and aggressive agenda, and we're going to be here for you in any way you need us to be. I want to thank you for your time today. Again, you've got a press conference this afternoon where all of this stuff will become public. We'll look forward to sharing that with the audience when it's all out there. But thank you for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thank you, Tony, and have a good day.
Absolutely. Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. A quick break here, and Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift. It'll be 7:50. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living or Platinum Plus carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on new carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
My guest is Grant Bossy. He is with Watchdog.org in New Hampshire.
I don't think the ads are particularly negative or worse than they used to be. They're coming from the sweetness and apple pie pack instead of from the candidates themselves, and we don't have those ridiculous 3 seconds of I approve this message at the end. But other than that, I think they might be losing their effectiveness a little more, you know, in the age of DVRs when we just fast forward through all the commercials.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 7:50. As I say every morning, when it's 7:50, it means just one thing, and that means it's time for Occupy Detroit. To Occupy First Shift, and joining us, as I promised you earlier on in the show, Eric Shelley, who's been with us before, give us an update on the restoration project, the Golden Gate project. And Eric, happy New Year to you, my friend. I hope you're doing well, and it's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back. It's a little bit darker than last time, I remember.
Well, listen, a lot going on in the world of Occupy Detroit, and I'm understanding you guys have 7 properties that you're working on in the current time?
Yeah, a couple of weeks back we locked down the last house on our side of the street. Now we're working our way down the other side of the street. If we get 2 more, then we'll have every house, either someone's living there, we're occupying it, or it's boarded up and secured.
Well, all right. So give us an update again. Tell us where you guys are at and what you need and what's working and what's not, and let's just get it going.
Well, we're on Golden Gate Road, which is actually one block west of John R., 4 blocks south of 7 Mile. The neighborhood is really hard hit. Foreclosures have taken their toll, and the houses are abandoned for the most part. So we're moving in. We're boarding up the houses so that drugs and prostitution and other nefarious activities can't take place in them. Also, just try to build up the neighborhood and try to stop the downhill slide. Because, you know, once an abandoned house gets stripped, it becomes almost impossible to resell it. And that has a deleterious effect on the neighboring houses as far as their property values, which just makes it easier for people to want to move out and continue the slide.
Well,
we've moved in. We've boarded up all the houses on the one side. So we have the White House, the Brick House, the Library, the Bath House, the Church House. We name them as we go along. One house the first house we worked on across the street, we call the Corner House, as it's on the corner, is actually in still very good condition, still has its plumbing, still has its electrical, still has its ductwork. So it's, you know, a target for scrappers now. And they kicked down the door and pulled out a couple of the 6, and we boarded up the door, we put that in the wind column, and then they kicked the door down, but they didn't get in and take anything, so we boarded it back up. So we're holding the line.
And tell me, where are you getting resources? I mean, this doesn't come free, so what can we do to help you, and who's been supporting this?
Well, we've had a couple of donations from people who support Occupy Detroit, of course. We've had a number of doors donated. Solid doors seem to be the biggest need that we have right now. Because if we can put a door up, then we can control who enters the building and secure the building. Plywood is also very important. 2x4s. And of course, you know, just general support. We've had a lot of volunteers come down and chip in for just a couple hours to rake up a yard or shovel some dirt out of the gutter. And it does a world of good to make the neighborhood look that much better.
And when is somebody normally in the area so that if somebody wanted to show up and volunteer their time, there's a good chance somebody would be there?
Well, there's always someone there at 136. That's the library. It's a small gray house that Tony and JP are living there full time. And they're generally up and active 9 to 5.
Oh, great. No, that's great. And of course, if people wanted to donate cash, they can still go to the occupy-detroit.us website, right?
.us, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you want to make donations of physical supplies, clothing, canned food, that can either go to the Phoenix Cafe, or you can just bring it directly to the Golden Gate Restoration Project. The White House is kind of like our Home Depot, if you will. We've got a garage in the back where all the plywood and lumber is being piled up, and you just stick it back there.
Well, you know, Eric, I think one of the things that I find really uplifting about what you're telling us this morning is that you're, you know, we talk about community and the importance of community to the Occupy movement, I think is fairly obvious to those of us that are engaged in it. But to literally build a community, which is what you're doing, you're rebuilding this neighborhood and perhaps, you know, repopulating it along the way, maybe not with the original inhabitants, but that's really not the point here. The point is you've taken what was dead real estate and you're reviving it. I think that this is really, you know, a phoenix from the ashes kind of thing.
Well, yeah, and that's the idea. And the existing community is still very important. Let's not forget that. One of the things I've been doing is community outreach. I've been visiting the churches in the neighborhood, and there is a surprisingly high ratio of churches in the neighborhood. I've been to the Wings of Love Baptist Church, Oasis of Hope Church, the Goodwill Community Church, and just letting them know that we're in the neighborhood and letting them know that there's hope and people are doing things and positive things are happening right around the corner from their house.
That's amazing. Well, Eric, this sounds like a project that doesn't have a deadline.
Well, it's kind of open-ended, isn't it? I guess it's done once the entire city has been brought back to its former glory.
I've got a big smile on my face right now. I don't think of all the stuff that we talk about, and of course, you know, we do this every day, and we gladly do it every day. You know, this may be one of the nicer stories evolving, and again, you know, this is something that can continue to just grow and grow and grow, because there's going to always be a need, and that's not a bad thing. I don't want people to look at that. Well, of course, there's going to be a need. It's Detroit. No. Don't take this the wrong way. There's going to be a need because there are people there that are willing to commit, like you, Eric, and I got to give you some credit. People like you that are willing to commit to making this kind of change.
Well, thank you, and I couldn't possibly do it alone. The guys that are there are really doing the heavy lifting, and what my vision of it is that it continues to grow, that we swarm over this neighborhood like ants on a tree leaf and continue to spread out from here until there's beauty everywhere to be seen.
All right. Well, I just got a message from my producer, Jeff, tells me that we got a caller that wants to the directions again because she said they didn't make sense, or he said it, they didn't make sense the first time you gave them. So could you tell us again where you're at?
Okay. The address is 142 Golden Gate. That's kind of our center, the White House. And it's Golden Gate is 4 blocks south of 7 Mile. So it runs east-west between Woodward and John R. And we're the first block west of John R.
All right. Well, I think that clarifies it. Eric, we're out of time for the hour, but I want to thank you, and I mean that. I truly want to thank you for checking in with us today. And, of course, we'll continue to report on the good news there. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right. Eric Shelley, Occupy Detroit. We got to get to the break. Folks, stay where you're at. A lot to get to in the next hour.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some accidents we've picked up after such a quiet earlier morning. US 23 southbound after Barker, we've got an accident on the left. 94 westbound near 8 Mile, an accident block in the right lane. As you head north on I-75 near 11 Mile, we've got an accident there on the left shoulder. And, of course, heavy traffic southbound 75 from about 14 Mile Road down toward 8 Mile. And 275 southbound near M14 and 96 on the right shoulder.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service does include a pretty good chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 44. Tonight, look for that rain-snow mixture to move in and a low near 28. Tomorrow, we're going to see some snow and a high near 31. Right now at Metro Airport, we do still have light rain, fog, and mist and 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, the Marine Corps is investigating a video that purportedly shows members of one of its sniper teams urinating on dead bodies in Afghanistan. CNN's Nick Payton Walsh reports the Afghan government wants the U.S. to apply severe punishment to anyone found guilty of this.
A really stinging indictment there, frankly, from the palace at a time when many are seeing damage, perhaps, in U.S.-Afghan government relations. This is not going to help at all. Also, make Afghans feel more comfortable by having American troops around.
A judge in Mississippi is barring any more prisoners who were pardoned at the last minute by outgoing Republican Governor Haley Barbour from being released. The attorney general says the governor failed to follow the law that says applications for pardons must include a 30-day notice to the public. But CNN's Martin Savage reports this comes a bit too late in most cases.
The cat's already out of the bag in many respects. There are about 21 prisoners that are still in prison that are going to remain there, but the rest are already out, and the big concern is for those murderers, the four of them that were released on Sunday. Right now, they're still free, but they are supposed to report in on a daily basis to the Department of Corrections.
Today could be the day Natalie Holloway's parents officially say goodbye to their missing daughter, CNN's Greg Black explains.
It's been nearly 7 years since the 18-year-old Alabama girl went missing while on a school trip to Aruba. Although Joran Vandersloot was arrested twice in the case, he was never charged, and no one knows for sure what happened to her. Today, a probate judge in her home state will consider a request to have Natalie legally declared dead. Oddly enough, the hearing comes just one day after Vandersloot pleaded guilty to the murder of another young woman in Peru. Greg Black, CNN.
Online foreclosure marketer Realty Track says last year foreclosure filings and repossessions fell to the lowest level since 2007, but the company still says it's not necessarily good news. It says the lower numbers are largely due to processing delays caused by fallout from the robo-signing scandal of 2010. This is CNN Radio.
Probiotics keep your digestion on the right track.
Give your gut the gift of microflora.
Isn't it time you gave back to your colon?
Looking to take a probiotic but not sure which to choose? Then try new ProNutrients Probiotic from the makers of Centrum. Containing two of the most studied probiotics, its dual-action formula supports digestive balance and healthy immune function. ProNutrients Probiotic, one of a new line of supplements that works with your multivitamin. New ProNutrients from Centrum helps make nutrition possible.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI. January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
The European Central Bank has just announced it is leaving its key interest rate unchanged, and that is helping European stock markets put on some more gains in the early going. It's also helping S&P futures up 8 points, NASDAQ futures up 14, Dow futures gaining 74. Hewlett-Packard still has bragging rights, but the whole PC industry has reason to worry. Tech firm Gartner reporting its latest measure of personal computer shipments, a rare decline in the fourth quarter. Down 1.4% to a little more than 92 million units. HP once again is the top seller, followed by Lenovo, Dell, and Acer. Yahoo is now number 3 in the business it helped create. Internet tracker ComScore reports that in December, 2/3 of all Internet searches in the U.S. were made using Google, but for the first time, more people used Microsoft Bing's search engine than Yahoo, though barely. Both sites claim right around 15% of the search market. S&P futures up 8, NASDAQ futures up 14. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm eating cake, so...
How about a new resolution to save?
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the tests available at your local club.
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. It is an absolute honor and pleasure to be with you. And considering the way things started today, and I got to tell you, they didn't start very well. We had lots of technical problems. Happy to say we've been error-free since then, so I'm happy about that. We have a lot to do in this hour. We're going to have plenty of time for open lines, and I got a lot of stuff I want to get to today as well, of course, we have David Hecker, who we're going to get to in just a moment. I want to remind you, you're always welcome, you're always welcome to join the show. I just ask it if we have a guest, you're topical to the guest. When we don't have a guest, whatever's on your mind always works for me. And the number, as always, 888-552-3595. Let's go ahead and get our intro in, and let's get going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
Public education is so important, obviously, for what the children and the young adults learn. But it's beyond that. It's social interaction. It's learning how to conduct yourself in society, to deal with people who you agree with, disagree with, deal with people who you like, don't like. And it helps mold people into becoming a good, active, involved citizen.
In with Tony is President David Hecker.
And joining us now is David Hecker. David, Happy New Year to you. Welcome back to First Shift.
Well, Happy New Year to you and your listeners, and that's quite an introduction, Tony.
We did a little homework while we were on vacation, so we like to mix it up a little bit here, and you're empowering words, David Hecker, so all we did was put a little music behind them. That's all
okay.
We really did.
Sounds good.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you back with us. Of course, 2012 brings some great opportunity. I'm fortunate enough to subscribe to a couple of the publications that the AFT sends out via email, And so I know that you folks are very engaged in the political process working into 2012. I noticed, Dave, and I just want to mention this, and if I shouldn't be, I apologize up front. But I noticed that you, at the AFT, you've got, for your members, you've got a leadership program going. If you want to get involved in the leadership of the union, that you've got training sessions. And I thought, I didn't know you did that. What I loved about it is it was open to everybody, and it's absolutely free.
It's extremely, extremely important. We want our members involved, to be involved, have to know what's going on. It's our obligation to provide training so people have the skills, people have the knowledge, people who are interested in stepping up into leadership positions in their local or the state federation or beyond, have that training. It's extremely important to maintain a viable and enhance the effectiveness of the union. So it's a big part of what we do. We do it at different levels. We do statewide conferences. We do training on a regional level. We do training at the local level. And it's an important component of what we do for our future.
Well, again, I was really impressed to see that and how well, obviously it's very well organized. I actually clicked through and looked at the website and all of the programs that you're offering. I just, again, it's just one of those things, David, that you don't think about when you think union. You don't necessarily think about all this really empowering stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So it's really good to see that you folks are doing that. And I just wanted to mention it real quick.
Thank you. And if you would like to join us in any of those, you're welcome.
Don't be surprised if I don't take you up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's it really did pick my interest. I know one of the things you wanted to talk about today, and we don't have as much time as we normally did. Obviously, you're not in studio with us today, and I'm sure you will be in the future. But that doesn't mean the discussion we're going to have today isn't nearly as important as any discussion we will have. We know that there will be a state surplus. As to the exact amount that is, we don't have that right now. But we don't need to have that exact amount to know that there's going to be certain demands made on that money. And I would think education is going to ring in on this a little bit.
Right, Tony. There's been a lot of media, a lot of discussions, a lot of work done to figure out a surplus. No one disputes that there's a surplus from fiscal year 2010-2011. No one disputes that, which ended for the state September 30th of 11. The size of the surplus is in somewhat of a dispute. When it was first reported out, it was reported out by the media as $1.3 billion. Now, most recently, the House Fiscal Agency has reported that they believe it will be $400 million, but the Senate Fiscal Agency reported a lower number a couple of weeks ago. Tomorrow, the state will conduct what it does two or three times a year. It's a revenue estimating conference, in which they announce the work they've done to try to figure out exactly where we are financially now and where we think the state will be, based on estimates of expenditures, estimates of revenue collections. Clearly, it's obvious that on September 30th, October 1st, you really don't know exactly where you'll be for the year that just ended. Some bills may still come in. Revenue may come in lower or higher. But there's absolutely a surplus. It looks like it's at least $400 million. And we'll see what the state says it is tomorrow. But there is a surplus. And the key is we have to spend it. An awful lot of times people say, well, let's stick it away in a quote-unquote rainy day fund. And the line I'm going to use has been used by many people many times, but it's pouring outside. This is when we need to spend it. A good chunk on education, but not just on education. The state obviously does important work in a whole lot of areas.
Well, so as we take a look at what that might mean for education, David, we do know, and unfortunately, we do need to remind people that it was this governor and this legislature that took away a great deal of money from not only K-12, but higher education as well. And it cost us a lot of jobs, a lot of important jobs. They're called teachers, David.
Well, you know, the as your listeners know, for the fiscal year we're in now, which is October 1, 2011 to September 30, 2012, education was cut $400 a child, K-12 education, $400 a child. That's a lot of money. Higher education is, as you mentioned, our public universities, the 15 really crown jewels of Michigan, were cut 15%. And that is in, like, you know, funding for higher ed has been going up every year, and this is a cut. You know, every year it's been decreasing just about, and this last cut has been a whopping 15%. So, you know, what do you have? You have fewer programs, you have larger class size, you have the, you know, make it harder for universities, colleges, and K-12 to succeed. It is never, ever, ever just about money, but yes, you need money to do the kinds of things we need to do for our young adults and our children. And the kids are the bottom line, and the young adults in universities, but it means jobs too. And people talk about private sector jobs as extremely, extremely important, and they're absolutely right. But public sector jobs are as important as far as moving the economy forward. But, you know, some policymakers don't seem to think about it that way for some reason.
Well, you know, and that of course brings us to doing my homework for our segment today. Of course, part of that is looking at what the state budget director and Governor Rick Snyder have said, and they've both said the same thing: slow down, don't spend that money. And in fact, let's not even have the conversation. And then I think what they're alluding to is they're not looking to spend that money. Period.
What we hear over the last few months, when preliminary reports on what the budget from last year will look like came out, the word we heard is rainy day. We need to stick it away. We depleted our rainy day fund. We need to build it up. And again, any organization should have a rainy day fund. You don't know, from something as small as you didn't plan on your new roof caving in or something, to whatever else contingency comes up. But again, it's pouring outside. You know, the contingencies have come up. The hole in the roof is massive, and we need to spend that money. And it's also, beyond spending the money so kids could have smaller classes and newer textbooks and have the technology they need, and universities could have the money they need so tuition could be restrained so we have good access to universities. Beyond all that, any economist worth their salt will tell you, you have to spend to get out of a recession. You don't get out of a recession by cutting back. So we need to spend this money.
Well, again, if we were to have teachers on with us right now, I can imagine that they would have lots of suggestions where this money needs to go. Interestingly, David, we'll start this question now. We'll get to it after we take the break. But the Governor Snyder was day before yesterday, might have been yesterday, was at the auto show and met with a bunch of engineering students, college kids. And he, did a little Q&A with them, and one of the things he asked of them was to commit to staying in Michigan. David Hecker, one of the things they asked of the governor is to restore some funding back to education. I think we can guess what the governor's answer to that is, but let's take the break, and we'll come back and talk about it on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. David Hecker is with us. Again, he is the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. If you've got a question or comment that's appropriate to what we're talking about, you're welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll take a very quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. David Hecker. Stay right where you're at. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. Things have changed quite a bit out there. We've picked up a few accidents. Those heading out on I-75. Southbound, we've got an accident near 696 blocking the left shoulder. And, you know, normally we've got the big delay, so look for that to be slowed back from before Rochester Road for those heading southbound. Northbound 75, also an accident near 11 Mile. That one's on the left shoulder. Further north on 75 after Square Lake, we have an accident that's in the right center lane trying to move off. Earlier problem, 94 West after 9 Mile, still trying to clear.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service looks like we are going to see rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be near 44. Tonight, that rain will mix with some snow as we have a low near 28. And tomorrow, we may see snow throughout the day and our high about 31. Right now, we do have light rain, fog, and mist still at Metro Airport with 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Introducing the reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's the most technologically advanced Camry ever. With the available Entune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, which gives you more than 750 radio stations from around the country. The reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you? Learn more at toyota.com/Camry.
Be sure to obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road and traffic conditions. Not available on all models. Data charges may apply. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. So David Hecker, my guest, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. By the way, before I get to this, David, this article that I mentioned in this exchange between a college student and Governor Snyder, I had the honor of being out in Roseville High School to address the teachers there. I believe that's one of your schools, is it not?
Yes, it is.
What a wonderful group of people.
They are, and they're tremendous teachers. They have great union leadership, and it's always been a very good school district with a very strong union leadership. As a matter of fact, the union brother, who he was president of that local for 20 years, retired. I'll lose track of time here. Retired 5-6 years ago. He now chairs AFT's Michigan Retiree Network for our retired members. So it just after 20 years of being a local union president, that you still want to do this in some capacity says a lot about John Olesik, the individual, but it also says a lot about that local union.
Well, they were awfully gracious to me, and I enjoyed very much addressing them, and hopefully they'll have me back sometime. Anyway, let me quickly get to this article. There was a student, an engineering student, and, you know, this is the exchange that happened. The young man says, as you mentioned earlier, he's addressing the governor, we are the future, but we are suffering because of the funding cuts to education in and around Detroit. Snyder acknowledged that his first year in office was full of difficult choices, but the cuts are over, he said, and while the state may look to reinvest, David, in education, it will do so in an intelligent way. In the past, the governor said, too much of government was simply about spending money. We will invest, but we're going to do it based on best practice and on accountability, transparency, metrics, and measures. And I don't know what that means, David Hecker.
Well, he is an elected official, you know, so maybe you're not supposed to know what that means. We'll know what it means in the State of the State, the 18th. That's when we won't know then what it means. The State of the State, sort of a general talk of direction. But a couple of weeks after that, I don't think the date has been set, is the governor's budget address, which really receives a lot less hype in the media, but is far, far more important than the State of the State address, because the governor, he in this case, will lay out the budget he's going to want the state legislature to approve. And so, you know, Bob King, president, as all your listeners know, of the UAW, says over and over again, so it's a great statement, so I'm going to steal it, that a budget is a moral document. And so it's when Governor Snyder in 2-3 weeks puts out his budget address, then we'll see what he really means, by that. You know, accountability, transparency, best practices, absolutely. We've always advocated that. But you need to fund. You need to fund those best practices.
Well, there's no question. You know, when we ask, you know, we do ask a lot of our young people today. You and I have had this discussion. In fact, I think the last time you were with me in the studio, David, we had this discussion about the burden that now comes with the college education, the financial burden, much more than it ever has in the state of Michigan. And I actually posted an article to Facebook a couple days ago that showed that, you know, if you were to pay for the same education in North Carolina that you get in Michigan, it costs twice as much in the state of Michigan as it does in the state of North Carolina. There's something about that doesn't say, stay here. You know, let us educate you and then stay here and invest in the state of Michigan. I don't know how we keep young people if this is the way it's going to be, David.
Well, you know, again, as I think we talked about on previous shows, you know, 20, 25 years ago, the state used to provide two-thirds of the funding for our universities, and then tuition would pick up, you know, the other third, you know, thereabouts. And that is totally reversed and worse. I mean, right now, the state only provides, on average, it varies by the 15 universities, but on average, the state only provides 22% of the funding. So where's the money that's necessary going to come from? Of course, it's going to come from tuition hikes. And, of course, no one likes tuition hikes, although they're necessary because they limit access. And it's the state's obligation to provide the funding necessary for higher education so we continue to have, I mean, they are really crown jewels of Michigan. We continue to have an excellent university system that is open to everyone, and no one is denied access because of financial situation. That's the state's obligation, which it falls far, far short of meeting.
Now, let me just ask you very quickly, in the context of the discussion today about the state surplus, we certainly can't have this discussion without talking about the responsibility of our legislature. The legislature has not proven to be responsive to the needs of education. In fact, went out of their way repeatedly. In fact, one of the discussions we had when I was at Roseville High School last month addressing the teachers there is, have you ever had a period in your professional life where every month the state legislature did at least one thing to make your life harder. And, of course, they all looked at me and agreed with a heavy sigh that, of course, it had never happened. But, indeed, the year 2011 was not kind to teachers.
It was not kind to teachers, not kind to school staff, not kind to the bottom line. And the bottom line are the students. You know, there is endless research, which talks about best practices. There is endless research that shows what works to enhance education. And all we ask is to put those programs in place and fund those programs. And don't come up with things like eliminate seniority, like that's going to have any impact on a child's education, or make it easier to fire a teacher because an administrator won't do their job that you need to do to properly get rid of a teacher who shouldn't be teaching. So you just make it easy for the administrator. So therefore, you're going to get rid of teachers who are actually doing a fine job. There's tons of research. We've provided it over and over again, and we know what we need to do. But this state legislature isn't exactly in line with what the research says needs to be done to enhance education.
Well, and again, I guess at some level makes, I don't know if your job easier is the right way to say it, but certainly directs where you need to place some of your energy, David Hecker. That's going to pretty much wrap it up for us today. I know you've got a very busy day today, so we'll let you get going. But we will look forward to visiting with you again in a couple weeks. Obviously, one of the things that the American Federation of Teachers is looking at is helping with turning the House, the 20 seats in the House, from red to blue. And I know that you're going to be working very hard over as we work through the next the upcoming months to see that happen, David.
Absolutely. And with all the labor and with all the community, you know, that work has started, as you know, and we're going to do it in November 2012.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Tony.
And we will look forward. We'll look forward to having you on soon. All right, David Hecker, once again, with the American Federation of Teachers. Again, he just has a very aggressive schedule today, and we want to honor that. We're going to be open lines from this point forward, so if you have something on your mind, whether it's education-related or not, feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. I've got some email I want to get to as well in the next segment, but give us a call now. We'll take the break and be right back.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Well, Tony, our total traffic update. We've had wet roadways throughout the morning, and we have quite a few accidents trying to clear because of that. Look for the delays along 94 westbound, the earlier problem near 9 Mile. 75 southbound, we've been backed up from about Rochester Road. Not only the normal delays, but part of that an earlier accident southbound 75 near 696. Northbound 75 near 11 Mile, that one's trying to clear from the left. 75 north after Square Lake, trying to clear from the right. And you're going to find slow going on just about all the roads at this time of the morning.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service looks like we are going to see rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be near 44. Tonight that rain will mix with some snow as we have a low near 28. And tomorrow we may see snow throughout the day and our high about 31. Right now we do have light rain, fog, and mist still at Metro Airport with 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Let's hear it for American Tradition Partnership. It's an organization that stands up for the politically dispossessed in our land. It goes to the highest courts to assert the fundamental rights of a minority that's been denied its full voice in America's political and governmental power circles. Yes, American Tradition Partnership is a tenacious advocate for, cue the patriotic music, corporations. Huh? Despite its grandiose name, American Tradition Partnership is a front group that funnels money from corporations into various political ads attacking candidates whom the corporations don't like, without identifying the corporate backers. Hoping to expand its laundry services for these secret donors, ATP filed suit in Montana to overturn the state's century-old ban on spending corporate funds in state and local elections. The front group argued that the ban restricts corporate influence over government policies. Wow, that's so twisted and anti-democratic that it'd make an American eagle scream in pain. But for arrogant corporate elites and their political lackeys, too much is never enough. The good news is that corporate lackeys don't yet control Montana's Supreme Court. On December 30th, the court's majority sided with democracy, common sense, and State Attorney General Steve Bullock, who argued for the people of Montana that corporations already have beaucoup ways to assert their oversized political power without needing to funnel secret money into our elections. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, the front group will now scamper to the corporate-friendly U.S. Supreme Court, pleading with it to stomp on this victory for democracy by overruling the state court and the people of Montana. To keep posted on this case and to fight for people power over corporate rule, go to www.freespeechforpeople.org. Freespeechforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back indeed. I want to remind you, before we get on with anything else, that there's an opportunity waiting for you if you're having a tough time in your workplace. And I know that's happening. It's happening every single day, and it doesn't have to be that way. Now, that's the part that, I guess, frustrates me a little bit. I want to remind you that there's a phone number that I've been giving out occasionally that you can call to get information on how to start a union in your workplace. I want to go back. We had mentioned that the UFCW just signed on a new plant, the pharmaceutical plant, not a pharmacy, a pharmaceutical plant. Company in Schwartz Creek near Flint in less than 90 days from beginning to end. That's how quickly you could have a union in your workplace. If you just do this, just call this number and say, I'm interested in starting a union. You don't have to give your name. You're going to get information and then take it from there. 1-800-321-6406. 1-800-321-6406. Just dial that number, ask that question, and then take it from there. I'm not pushing you to do anything. Again, you can be as anonymous as you want to be. But just stop and think about how much better your life would be, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a safety issue, whether it's a harassment issue, whatever the issue might be, you know one thing for sure. That if you call 1-800-321-6406, they have answers. That's all I'm saying. So take that as you will. Jeff, I shared with you yesterday, mid-afternoon, some pretty disturbing news about our friend, State Representative Harvey Santana. I'm a little bit upset about this, so I'm going to let me break it down this way. As everybody that listens to the show knows, State Representative Santana had an argument, a disagreement with State Rep. David Nathan, a fellow Democrat from Detroit. It got loud. It did not get physical. It got loud on the House floor. The sergeant-at-arms came to the rescue, and Harvey Santana came on this show the very next day, very early the next day, and apologized and expressed his remorse for it happening, but it did. And again, it was just built from frustration because... imagine being a Democrat in this legislature. How did the Republicans and how did Speaker Jay Spolger decide to deal with what happened on the House floor that day? They've removed Representative Santana from his role as the minority vice chair of the House Agriculture Committee, which is a huge overreaction to what happened on the House floor. They removed his vice chairmanship and gave it to someone else. This is politically motivated. Listen, I made some calls yesterday. I did some homework. I wasn't going to just look at that and let it go. And I did a little homework. This is all very politically motivated. They know that Harvey is one tough son of a bitch. They know that he's going to fight hard to win his seat back, and they don't want him back because he's a strong, very vocal, very visionary leader. They don't want that. They don't want people like that in the legislature. Trust me, they don't. So they think that by taking away his vice chairmanship of the Agriculture Committee, it's going to hurt him. Well, it will, from a fundraising standpoint. Certainly the Farmers Bureau won't be as likely to write him a check as they would have been just a couple days ago. But this is all politically motivated. This is a huge overreaction, a huge overreaction to what happened on the House floor the last day of the House session in 2011. And I mean a huge overreaction. Remove his vice chairmanship. Now, Jay Spolger isn't stupid. He knows that in order to get what you want, the best thing to do is to get rid of your strongest competition, and certainly Harvey Santana is one tough bulldog. If I were Jay Spolger, I wouldn't want him around either. I'm not Jay Spolger. Also, you need to be fair, and this there's nothing fair about this, but folks, it's politics. And, you know, Harvey is, you know, quoted as saying, you know, we're just going to take our lumps and move on. They didn't say it exactly that way, but... But this was just wrong. It was just wrong for them to react the way they reacted to what happened on that day in on the House floor. And, again, totally politically motivated, and got to just call out, you know, Speaker Jay Spolger for what he is, which is basically a coward. This is cowardly behavior when you get rid of strong competition. And that is exactly what happened. How sad that is. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Jeff sent me a story yesterday that I was kind of incredulous about. So I'm going to ask the question. And, Jeff, I'm going to venture to guess that you didn't know this was a free speech issue or not when you sent it to me. And that's, of course, how you honk your horn or what you use your horn for when you honk it.
No, I just saw the story, thought I'd pass it along.
All right, so here's the deal. According to the laws of Michigan, you're only allowed to use your horn for traffic purposes. That's basically, I mean, it boils down to that. That you really should not use your horn for anything but to alert another driver, you need them to move or you need their attention so you could point something out to them. Which brings up the point, if you actually use your horn for a political purpose, like, you know, you drive by a rally and it's, let's say, for peace and you honk your horn for peace, can you, Jeff, do you think, be cited for improperly using your horn?
I would say no. I mean, a horn is a horn. That's what it's for, right?
Well, according to state law, my good friend. Unless it's there to ensure safe operation of a vehicle, you're really not allowed to use it.
So you could actually get, what, cited or ticketed, or what would they do?
Well, you could. Not that you would, because nobody has ever been cited for not using their horn for, quote-unquote, ensuring safe operation of their vehicle. But it does beg the question, and the question's been asked. Can you use your horn to express yourself without getting cited. And there's not a, you know, there's not a clear definition. Let me read a little bit from this from this article that you sent me. It said, I wouldn't necessarily take a traffic cop's word on what enforcement would violate your First Amendment rights. Honking to express agreement with protesters or to otherwise engage in quote-unquote speech, even if you are honking because you love Elvis or R. Randy, is probably protected speech under the First Amendment so long as the honking can be reasonably understood as speech. It happens right next to the union protester, as an example. That said, the writer goes on to write, I am not liable for any tickets received in reliance to the above statement. Goes on to write, until reading that, I hadn't considered the First Amendment implications of horn honking. Its rational basis, correct, is suggesting sounding a horn qualifies as protected speech. Well, it seems to depend on where you honk and why. Consider the case of Azeel Broadhead, an Iraq War veteran and Wisconsin's corrections agent. Last year, Broadhead was ticketed for his nightly habit of driving past Governor Scott Walker's house, honking his horn and offering the old one-finger salute in protest of Walker's plan to curb collective bargaining rights for state workers. Broadhead challenged the ticket, claiming his free speech rights were violated. But the judge could find no precedent for First Amendment protection of horn use and rejected the plea. All right? However, honking is considered protected speech if it conveys a clear message. Last year, a woman named Helen M. Melt spent a night in jail for violating a county noise ordinance against honking for any purpose other than safety by sounding her horn, quote, at length in front of a neighbor's house in the early morning hours, unquote. Emmett Melt appealed her way up to the state Supreme Court, Jeff, which ruled the ordinance was overbroad and listed circumstances in which honking could be considered constitutionally protected speech. Goes on to say, a moment's reflection brings to mind numerous occasions in which a person honking a vehicle horn will be engaging in speech intended to communicate a message that will be understood in context. Now, with that said, it makes sense that the horn can be used, I think, as speech. I think it clearly makes sense. And it turns out there also is legal precedent in Michigan for considering horn use free speech. In 2007, the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan sued the city of Ferndale on behalf of protesters and motorists who had been ticketed or arrested by the city for either holding signs encouraging drivers to honk for peace or honking in response to the signs. A federal judge in Detroit sided with the ACLU and the protesters because, quote, the city failed to provide that preventing protesters from holding signs that encouraged honking was necessary to protect the public safety, unquote. So there you go. There you go. Honking your horn is protected free speech. Who would have thunk? Now, see, this is what I love about my job. That's an education you wouldn't get anywhere else. Seriously, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. All right, a quick break if you want to join us. One last segment to do such. And it's easy. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break, wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trubino.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us that don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see that right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning this with CDs and I'm mailing it out to friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. Pleasure to be with you. A couple of things I want to get to before we get out of here. First of all, Jeff, let us announce. I think we were there. We have an official hashtag.
I'm excited about
it. It's all your work. I can't take any credit for it, but it makes complete sense. So share it, and you're going to post it to Facebook.
Right. Well, we've had a request, and I think it's a good idea. Hashtags, if you're into Twitter and the social media stuff, you know what hashtags are, an easy way to organize things or get things across. And you just throw it at the end of a message. And now, if you want something that's related to First Shift, anything, you know, like we had the number 1U, or hashtag 1U for, you know, for the We Party Patriots, and you know, there's the number 2P and all this. We have one. It's hashtag 1U. STT. And one first shift is S, and then Tony Trupiano.
All right. So it's, again, the number sign for those that don't know what a hashtag is. The number one, STT, which is not STD, because that would get really uncomfortable for all of us.
Yes, don't confuse the two.
Absolutely not. STT. I like it. I like it a lot. We're going to post it to Facebook, and we'll keep posting it to Facebook for a while until people catch on to it. But it's well done, Jeffrey. Well done indeed. Like it. Like it a lot. Okay. You know what? Can we do Tales of Interest today? Are we set up for that, or would you rather wait until we're set up for it?
Anthony says we can do it, so.
All right. Let's. I've got one, two. No, actually, I've got one, two, three. I've got four stories here. So if you guys want to do it, let's give it a shot. All right, just let me know when you're ready, eh? And we'll go ahead and do Tales of Interest here, because I think it's important that we utilize all the tools at our disposal. And the last time we did it was clunky, and unless he's dumping it. God, I love the way technology works, dumping it into my computer. I can see it going on. And so this is very cool. So it looks like I can get going, right, eh? No, let's do it again. Give me a little more volume on that. A little more volume on that. Ready?
Number five.
Anyway, now I've screwed it up. Now I've screwed it up. So, oh, well. Can you play it for me? Go ahead and do the open A. Just go ahead and play it for me.
Tales of Interest.
There we go. Then we're going to go. Let's go with our first one. Go ahead and hit number five for me.
Number five.
All right. Well, actually, we should have started with four. So go ahead and hit number four for me now that we've really screwed it up. The Supreme Court says a woman can sue over firing from a Redford church. She was fired from this church for she was a teacher. But the church thought that because they were a religious institution that they didn't have to play by the same rules. The Supreme Court said, sorry, you got to play. Let's go on to the next one.
Number three.
All right. Only in Michigan. A woman in the Upper Peninsula heads to federal prison today after doing what? Biting off a man's nose. I wish that I were joking, but I am not. An Upper Peninsula woman is going to federal prison for 46 months for biting off a man's nose during a brawl on an Indian reservation, permanently disfiguring the victim, as I'm sure you can guess. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the charges stem from an incident that occurred on April 21st in an Indian community on the Upper Peninsula on a reservation. The early morning fight broke out between this woman and the victim, during which she bit off the tip of the victim's nose, struck him with a lamp, and cut him with a knife. Anyway, she's headed to jail. Our next one.
Number two.
Number two. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we have to look at is what's going to happen to the personal property tax. Well, it may go away, but if it goes away, that means even less money for schools. It's a system that's sick and needs to be fixed. The problem with the Republicans? They want to eliminate it. They don't want to fix it. They don't want to replace it. What will happen to that money that's being generated and those that need it, including municipalities? This is a bigger problem than the Republicans are letting on, and it's unfortunately a problem that may not have a suitable solution. And last but not least.
And finally.
The number one thing.
The number one.
Well, smoke them if you got them, and what I'm talking about, unfortunately, are doobies. And two stars of the Learning Channel's All-American Muslim, well, found out that when you go from Canada to Detroit, and you say you don't have anything, including drugs, and they check your car, and they find some doobies, well, you have to pay a fine, and chances are you got to go to court, and indeed, these two people will. Unfortunately, they've already paid the $500 fine. One of them, of course, do you think they got a medical marijuana card, right? Good thing? Nope. Federal government doesn't recognize the medical marijuana card. Not sure where this is headed, but it certainly will be seen on the Learning Channel. Well, maybe not sometime soon. And that, those are today's tales of interest. As clunky as that was, I like it. I like it. Once we finally get it all figured out and it sounds good, which I thought it sounded good once we got going.
Yeah, I thought it was much better. I like it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to let you guys play it on your end, and then we'll be okay, because I messed that up pretty well. But anyway, that's that. See, now I've cleaned up every story I have, and, you know, I always, Jeff, feel good about that. Do want to remind everybody that I'm headed out to UAW Region 1 today out in the Warren area. As I will be, I've been asked to appear on a panel to talk about the elections moving forward, how to get people, especially those in labor, more engaged and involved, and so I'm looking forward to that. Frank Houston, who was just on with us earlier this week, will be the moderator for that panel discussion, and so I'm looking forward to that, and they've invited me to pitch first, and so I would reckon I'll head out that way. And then looking forward to that. And as I mentioned earlier in the show today, the United Steelworkers District 2 has invited me to be the keynote speaker at their convention, or at their big ball, actually, on Saturday, March 3rd in Kalamazoo. I have agreed, although I haven't told them that yet, but I have agreed to do it, and we'll look forward to that. Bring my wife with me, have a nice evening away. And
well, now they know.
Now, well, yeah, if they're listening, of course, if they're listening, yes, they now know. But I will do my proper due diligence and make sure they no, when I get back to the office today with an official response. Absolutely. Looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun. And again, want to remind people, if you'd like me to come speak at your event, all you have to do is reach out to me. If I don't have something going on when you need me, and it's not way too late at night, chances are I'm going to say yes. So keep that in mind. I've got I got one in March. I've got one in February. Actually, two in February. Got a lot going on. So you want me, just invite me. It's that simple. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you again for everything. Really a great show today. I want to thank this audience as always. You guys are awesome. Of course, without you, this doesn't even matter. So that's for sure. Off the air, if you need me, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Or just go to thetonyshow.org, find my phone number there, and call me. I'm happy to talk to you. With that, I got to get out of here. As always, folks, I ask that you have a great day. Be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes some slow going 75 heading in towards 696. We've had accidents that we're working both north and south 75 in toward the Reuther, and that's added to the normal delays. If you're on 696 west at times, we've been slow coming in from Mound Road trying to get past 75 out towards Southfield. 96 east, that's also been pretty busy coming in toward 275. 94 west trying to make your way from the Reuther down to 75. We've had some pockets of slow traffic through that stretch.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service looks like we are going to see rain throughout the day. Our high is going to be near 44. Tonight that rain will mix with some snow as we have a low near 28. And tomorrow we may see snow throughout the day and our high about 31. Right now we do have light rain, fog, and mist still at Metro Airport with 40 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.